DW Africa Link.
Imagine a nation being known not for its resilience or beauty, but for being at the top of a list no country wants to lead, which is the world's most neglected displacement crisis. That's the grim reality facing Cameroon today, according to the latest report from the Norwegian Refugee Council. Caught in armed conflict, political unrest, and humanitarian indifference, millions are displaced, yet their stories rarely make headlines. They are suffering overlooked by the world's media, aid donors, and policymakers. So why does Cameroon's crisis seem so invisible? And what does it say about whose suffering the world chooses to see and whose it ignores? As Africa Link, we would like to unpack the silence. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Cameroon facing three overlapping crises: Boko Haram attacks in the far north, Anglophone unrest in the west, and spillover violence from the Central African Republic in the east has become a symbol of silent suffering. Despite the scale of displacement, international attention remains minimal. Cameroon received just $1 per displaced person per week this year, according to the Norwegian Refugee Council, which now ranks it as the world's most neglected displacement crisis, its first time at the top in 7 years. African nations continue to dominate the list, highlighting chronic global neglect. With rising nationalism and shrinking international support, only half of 2024's humanitarian needs have been funded. That's a fraction of global military spending, leaving millions without adequate aid. Now joining me for this very sad discussion is Thelma Ayafo. She is a victim of the Anglophone crisis and president of the Association of Victims of Boko Haram and Anglophone Cameroon Crisis. I also have Moki Kinzeka, DW correspondent in Cameroon. I would like, however, to caution listeners that some parts of the conversation may be too graphic. Now, Thelma, as someone who's been dealing with these issues for a while now, just to find out from you, how has this global neglect impacted the daily lives of victims you represent in Cameroon?
Well, as victims, one of the victims of the Cameroon crisis, we are suffering from, I can say, fear and disbelief in the ability of international community to cooperate with justice. We want justice. We face like problem of shelter. Some of us were, due to the crisis, we could not continue. We cannot further our education because there is no one to help us. We were forced to leave our homes, our various hometown, and move and relocate into centers where, to areas where we find life very, very difficult. Life is very difficult for us. Our job opportunities, feeding has become a problem, an issue to us, shelter, education, and so many other things.
Right. Now, coming to you, Moki, you are a reporter on the ground. Just to also probably add to what Thelma said or expand more on that, especially as media, how you're covering this in terms of why Cameroon has been also neglected globally.
We're talking here about over 700,000 children of school-going age, a majority of them girls, who don't have access to education. In fact, it's a serious problem. When you move from the English-speaking regions to the French-speaking regions, as most of them have been doing, you see girls who are supposed to be in classroom really suffering. Some of them are working like house helps. Some of them have turned into prostitution. Some of them are doing very funny things to leave. The first challenge they have is that of language. You are speaking the English language. You move over to the French-speaking region. You have to be hawking or selling along the streets to survive. And the people you are supplying or selling to are Francophones. You could imagine what they're going through. We have had situations of girls in particular who come from the Northwest region or the Southwest region. They don't have know anybody in the capital city, Yaoundé, or in Douala, where majority of them are. You imagine what they go through. They live on the streets. Some of them are in car parks. Some of them are deceived into very funny things they are doing, which are not supposed to be done by children at that age. The parents, too, they leave, they move on to unknown destinations. I'm telling you, the community hall, which is in Yaoundé, was lodging some of these children. Some people who are well-to-do in the French-speaking are keeping some of them, sending them to school. They go to schools where the language basically is French. The environment is strange. You could imagine how difficult it is. That is for those who have left. Those who are still back in the Northwest and Southwest, they have difficult access to education. We're talking of over 700 schools that are not yet up now because of the crisis. Then you imagine both the teachers who are teaching those schools who have lost their jobs. You imagine also the children who wanted to go to school. They don't have education. They have stayed back there. They go to school. They see guns, armed gangs who have occupied their school premises. You hear stories of other issues like hospitals attacked by both the government forces and the non-state armed groups. So it's a very difficult situation, as Thelma was saying, that when we talk about a neglected crisis, I want to believe that Cameroon is a perfect example.
Mm. And what stories, Moki, do you hear more from these displaced individuals or families? Those stories that you as a reporter will say they stand out to you as emblematic of the broader crisis. And here is Africa Link now talking about this issue and for the world to know all these challenges that Cameroon is facing amongst other platforms. What do they want the world to know?
They want the world to know how much the victims are suffering. You know, just imagine a situation you are surviving because you work in a cocoa plantation or because you work in a rubber plantation. And one good morning, you go to work, armed men just come, arrest or kidnap you and cut your fingers. That is what many people have gone through. At least 40 people, 40 workers of the plantations in the Southwest region found themselves in that situation. Imagine a case where, like Thelma there, who is the president of the Association of Victims and also a victim. The mother, Thelma's mother, was abducted and killed in broad daylight. She was beheaded. Then, despite the outcry from the communities, from the victims, nothing seems to be happening. Thelma, I don't know if she's feeling scared of telling her story, relocated to Yaoundé with her family, where they don't have enough to eat. They have difficulties feeding. They have difficulties going to school. And the worst part of it is that a little bit of government neglect. You imagine that she has written the exams to join the Gendarmerie, that is the military or the police force in Cameroon, where she thinks she'll be able to fight for justice for her killed mother, and she has never succeeded. But the government of Cameroon has put in place what they call the Reconstruction Commission, and then they have created centers where victims could go and complain, and their complaints listened to. But yet they go there and they're not listened to. The centers, the government seems to be complaining a lot about the absence of money. So these are some of the issues that make it so difficult. It's been so difficult. Children who have left, you see a child of 4 or 5 years who is in the French-speaking zone without the parents. You hear communiques coming to the radio stations that this girl, this boy was found in this place. They're looking for the parents. Ask where they come from. So many are coming from the Northwest and Southwest region. So the situation is so pathetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, Thelma, I really understand and I'm very sorry about your mother. And I can't just imagine what you go through as a victim and always to talk about these issues. I can imagine it's not something that is easy. Thank you so much for agreeing to join us here on DW Africa Link podcast. I'm also really just getting emotional as Moki was talking about your story. But this is the only way, right? We can make the world know about everything that's happening, we have to talk about it. This is the only way we can also, as media, chip in for Cameroon not to be neglected again. I mean, this is the first in 7 years. It's quite sad to hear this about Cameroon. So I don't know if you're comfortable to tell us more as a victim, or rather maybe just talk about the other victims. Who are they? What does this really mean for Cameroon? And also, as a president, what are your plans? What are the initiatives that you have for, for their betterment, for the betterment of their lives, and also for the world to know more about what is happening in Cameroon?
I'll talk as a victim, and I'll talk to as a president for the other victims that did not get the opportunity or don't have the opportunity to stand out and speak out for themselves. Mm. First, it's really, really not easy because, as Ms. Aukmoki earlier said, I got to a point where telling my story, or telling the world how we are doing, or how my sisters and I, or how people that suffered, or people, these victims, what they are being through and not getting any positive reply or any positive change, got me to a stage where I just feel like I cannot just sit and do nothing because we need a change.
Yeah.
We really do need a change because we are really, really suffering. Life is not really easy. And at my own point, I don't really have much. We are still fighting for justice. We are not going to stop until that justice we get. We have a barrister, Barrister Funke Tomnye, that has been helping us ever since. He learned we relocated here to Yaoundé in our mother's case, going to court, and has also been assisting other victims in one way or the other. We have Madame Joka Yvonne, who has tried also and has always been giving us a helping hand. Other victims, we have small activities that we've been trying to come up, or we have been trying to do to occupy ourselves, like making of sanitary pads for ladies and doing like baking cake and other stuff for the girls, for the boys, training centers and mechanic businesses that we have been trying to occupy ourselves with.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, it's good that there are also people that are assisting you and the other victims on the ground in that capacity. But we also want to talk about the international, like the non-governmental organizations also that are in Cameroon, United Nations, to name but a few, and also just with humanitarian funding falling far short of the needs. I'm sure it's not enough. But just to find out, Thelma, what are the most urgent gaps in support for displaced communities in your country? What needs to be done more? What is needed more?
My English might not sound good. I don't really know how to speak the English. We the victims, we need help. We need like training centers to help of us who did not complete school. Because I will not lie, some of us are suffering emotionally, mentally. So we also need help, education.
All right. Moki, let's talk about the role of the government. What are they doing about all this? What have they said? Even the report that has just come out, has there been any reaction from the government, local reaction, even just from authorities, aid agencies? Is there any response that is visible in any way?
Up to now, the government has not reacted to the report. And eventually, observers are saying they may not even react because It is always very difficult to see the government of Cameroon reacting to international reports, especially like this one, where also they're feeling that they're not doing enough. I'm sure the government knows. I can give the example of the budget that was made to be able to assist these victims is only less than 5%, 5 to 7% of that amount that has been raised. That is of 25 billion CFA francs. It's about $2 billion that has been raised by the government to assist the victims. So they are really feeling the pinch of this neglect because most of the money is expected to be contributed by the international community. It is not coming. For the aid agencies, for the Center for Human Rights and Democracy, agrees totally that the situation is very precarious. They say the report came just when it was needed because it is time for the world to know the challenges, the difficulties these people go through. It is time for the world to know they need education. Quite often they talk very much about the situation in the English-speaking regions and forget about that in the far north region, that is Boko Haram insurgency. You know, the NGOs that work there, when I called them this morning, were talking about how when they are moving to the camps, the children are shouting, crying, we need food, we need food, we need medical help, which means that the main problems they have in those areas. They are also saying that if international aid was coming, if it increased, if the situation was not neglected as it is, there would be less conflicts between host communities and the refugees or people, victims, people who are fleeing difficulties in their country. Because you go to Minawao, it was made for about 20,000 people. We now have over 80,000 who are lodged in that part of the country, in that camp, in the refugee camp. And they move out of the camp and fight for wood and food with the host communities because they don't have much to eat. So they have to go out of the camp. When they have what to eat, people contribute rice and so on. They will not be able to cook because they don't have the firewood to cook. They move out of the camps to be able to fair wood and cook. And the conflicts are many. There was also a conflict between the host populations and refugees over water resources because some camp, they are fishermen in the far north of Cameroon. They meet the host communities who are fishermen. They start fighting over resources. About 60,000 people following a fight that erupted relocated again to Chad, you know, because of the crisis caused by this neglected, because of the problems caused by this neglected crisis. So we have not been getting enough reaction or much reaction from the government, the NGOs and the international community represented here. The UN think that this report is very timely because they themselves also are complaining of the funding they don't have to take care of these people suffering in Cameroon.
Right, right. Let me just go back to Thelma, as difficult as it is, I know, to keep talking about this, Thelma, but I just want, in your opinion, as a president, I know you said already what is needed. You need help emotionally, you need shelters, you need a lot of things that you mentioned. But if you are to be asked as a president right now, from an organization, we don't know which one, to say, can you list to us 5 top things that you want done, and also to give you hope with the other victims to rebuild yourselves, and also, you know, what you are doing as a group together to just ensure that you can live under the circumstances. I also want to really hear from you the other stories that the other victims are telling you.
I will not go detailing to, I will just list some of the other victims and what their problems, what they are going through. Maybe some of their names have skipped my mind.
Maybe let's start with the top 5 things you really want any organization or maybe the government of Cameroon to do right now for you and the other victims.
The first thing I will talk about is education for those who want, or some of us who want to go back to school, but we don't have the means. That is the first wish, education, because I have always said education is the key for us to go back to school, training centers to for the government to assist or help us with training centers for those of us who want to work. So also about facilities for people who need help and cannot do it. Still thinking.
You're thinking, okay. I understand. But yeah, I don't know if Moki, you'd want to assist her here also on ground, the three remaining things or two remaining things that you really see also victims would really need as soon as possible. You never know, as we are discussing here, there can be an organization wants to now say, you know what, we cannot continue to neglect Cameroon.
I would think that, as Tema is saying, the first thing they need is education is a key and it's a fundamental human right. The children need education. When you say 700,000 children have been denied education, is a huge number. What would be the future of Cameroon without education? What would be the future of those children without education? She has spoken about access to healthcare delivery to hospitals. Oh, it's very serious. You want to know that in some hospitals, hospital staff actually disappeared, escaped because of the fight thing. So people who are sick, who are HIV positive, who have terminal diseases, who are being followed up are dying. Education, health, jobs. A lot of them go back in the bushes to join and join the armed gangs because they don't have jobs. They're not recruited. Okay. Then they also need to be assured that when they leave the armed gang, when they leave, they will be forgiven as the government has promised, because a lot of them want to drop their weapons and they're begging to be forgiven. But they complain some of the time that when they leave their camps, drop their weapons, they're not forgiven. And then they need also justice. They need justice. They have seen how their family members were killed. Some of them know who did this and that.
Okay. Thelma, I'll give you 30 seconds or close to a minute to wrap up. What do you want to tell the world today as a victim in Cameroon?
I would like to let the world know or witness or have seen the sufferings in Cameroon. I would like to plead what we are fighting for is justice. We need justice. We are seeking for justice and we pray that one day we'll obtain that justice. We are praying for a better tomorrow. We want our country to be that one and indivisible Cameroon. We are tired of crying. We are tired of pleading. We hope the government sees into our problem and tries to seek to help us find solutions, because crying every day and complaining, sitting for walking from one place to another, seeking for help and not getting that help. We pray that the government would look, see into our situation and help us.
What an emotional discussion as you heard there from Thelma Ayafo, a victim of the Anglophone crisis, who is also president of the Association of Victims of Boko Haram and Anglophone Cameroon Crisis. Many thanks to you, Thelma, for opening up to us, and to you, Moki Kinzeka, DW correspondent in Cameroon, for helping tell the story. Just like Cameroon, a number of African countries are dealing with massive displacements caused by internal and external conflicts. Burkina Faso, Mozambique, Nigeria, and Democratic Republic of Congo are all key examples. Uganda and Rwanda stand out in managing displacement crisis by championing refugee self-reliance and legal inclusion, integrating refugees into national public services instead of isolating them in camps. Their focus on social cohesion benefits refugees and host communities alike, transforming displacement from a humanitarian burden into a development opportunity. Experts say embedding displacement into broader national strategies offers a roadmap for building resilience and achieving durable solutions despite the complex challenges. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.